Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Greetings, you culture bugs. Today's poem is called The Daffodils. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, continuous as the stars that... Aye.
Can't you read the sign, buddy?
Well, certainly. What sign?
The one behind those daffodils.
This one that says, do not pick flowers?
That's the one.
Well, there I was, Your Honor, wandering lonely as a cloud that floats...
30 daffodils, eh? That will be $30 and 30 days.
Now oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon my bright blue eye, as I sit here in solitude. And then my heart with anger fills. $1 apiece for daffodils?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Ecolawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. Now here's the man who's redefining green, which means that he's busy working on the Wikipedia entry, Mike Novak.
How would you like to go up in a swing? Up in the air, so blue. Oh, I do think it is the pleasantest thing ever a child can do.
Okay. It occurred to me when I got the Bullwinkle thing, and I want to thank you, Heather, for tracking that down at the top of the show. I wouldn't know any poetry at all if it weren't for Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
How sad is that? That's what I know about poetry.
It's just a testament to how, like, well-written and intelligent that show actually is, or was, or is.
Was. Yeah.
It's still, you can
and it really holds up. So about the only thing that doesn't hold up is the Cold War thing. But I love looking back at the whole Cold War thing, because you got the Russians and you got Nazis running around, thinly disguised. And this was 15 years after the end of the war,
right?
World War II, that this came on. And for me as a kid, it was all over my head.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. I was like, funny moose, ha ha ha. And then I got older and I'm like, this is magnificent.
Yes.
I got a greater appreciation for it when I got older.
He's moose and squirrel.
Yes.
And all that stuff, which I did, you know, under the shadow of nuclear annihilation.
Right.
Hey, it's Rocky
Falls.
And Bullwinkle. Yeah, hey.
Is that what they called it? Frostbite Falls, nuclear
Frostbite
winter?
Frostbite Falls, nuclear winter?
Maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Good morning. I don't know why I'm...
You're chipper today.
I'm in a good mood.
You're caffeinated. He got his hair cut. He looks nice. Wow.
Yeah, got a haircut. Yeah.
Looking good, Mike Novak.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I got to talk this afternoon.
Where?
Garden Talk down in Evergreen Park. As a matter of fact, what I need to do, you know, I might as well give it a plug. I'm doing one of the a talk on organic lawn care. So it's at the Evergreen Park Library. It's their garden festival. So 1 o'clock, if you're in Evergreen Park down that way, I'm doing my talk on organic lawn care called Guys on Grass.
Nice.
Thank you.
Well,
I didn't actually come up with that name.
I was going to say, it was a good play with words there.
But it's also called, if you want a little parentheses after it, it's Organic Lawn Care 101, basically. But Guys on Grass, and it's part of the Garden Festival in Evergreen Park. And what I need to do is track down more information. That's what I will do sometime during the show. And if folks want to come by to the Evergreen Park Public Library, which is 9400 South Troy in Evergreen Park. Again, I will be there at 1 o'clock talking about Guys on Grass. And today, well, we were talking about education a second ago in a strange way with mm-hmm. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yep.
Dan Schnitzer is in studio. He's the director of sustainability and operations for the Academy for Global Citizenship, which is just down the road a piece here, not too far away, 4647 West 47th Street, right here in the south side. And we'll get to him in a second. And of course, the first question I'm going to ask him is, how does a grade school get a director of sustainability? That's what I want to know. They didn't have those when I was in school. At St. Mary Magdalene in Hazel Park, Michigan.
I was going to say outside Warren somewhere.
Yeah, Hazel Park, Michigan. And as we all know, St. Mary Magdalene was a woman of the night. So this is a good way to grow up.
Explains so much.
It does about me. That I spent 8 years at St. Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Grade school.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And then. At 8:30, Rick DeMaio weather. And Dan, you didn't know this was going to be, I'm such a loose cannon here, did you? You had no clue.
No, but this is great. When you work with kids all day, you get used to this.
So. Okay.
No maturity level here.
Yeah, no. I'm emotionally about 12.
Yeah.
Heather's, I think she's. It
depends, because there's a good 30% of me that I refuse to allow to mature beyond the age of 7.
But you're also a mom, so part of you is grown up.
Yeah.
See?
But I get to relive my childhood all over again with my son. So I get to get all the Snoopy videos I remembered as a kid, and I get to do all that all over again, which is pretty awesome.
And second hour, today's show is interesting in that a lot of it's about kids, and it's about family, and it's about sustainability and how we tie all of that together, because in the second hour, I have the Rapp family, and they're going to be in studio. And you say, well, who's the Rapps, aside from a kind of music? They are a family that spent a year weighing all the stuff they threw out so they could see what their footprint was. They could see what their waste stream was. And Scott, I have a feeling that the dad was behind this, but who knows? I really don't know for sure. They live in East Village, and there's a website that you can link to on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and they graphed it. They graphed the whole thing about what they threw out last year. So we're going to talk about that in the second hour. So it's all about sustainability and kids. And learning. And maybe I'll play some more Rocky and Bullwinkle music later on. I probably will. All right, let's get to Dan Schnitzer, who is the Director of Sustainability and Operations at the Academy for Global Citizenship. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming down. Now, do you live anywhere near the school?
I live up in Lakeview.
Okay. So you're in the city and you're teaching at the Academy. The Academy is brand new. It started in 2008, right?
Right. We're in our second year. kindergarten through second grade right now, and we'll go up until eighth grade as we add a grade each year.
That is interesting in itself, I think. The idea of starting a school, and then you have to have a graduating class.
Right.
And you work towards that. You don't even fill up the thing for, what, 8 years, right?
Right.
And it was like that in the high school I went to, because the high school, I was the second graduating class in my high school in Warren, Michigan, which is very near Hazel Park. Did I tell you that, Heather? Where St. Mary Magdalene was located? But the difference with the Academy for Global Citizenship is, well, it looking at the way it's described on the website, and you can link to the website on my website, you're doing things that I didn't do until I was well into adulthood, and that is teaching kids about sustainability, teaching them about global citizenship, as the name of the academy indicates. Yoga. Are you kidding me? Organic meals for, right, for breakfast and lunch. You're working on biliteracy, which I guess in this day and age is very, very important in,
sure,
a way that it never was when I was growing up. But how did all this get started?
You know, it got started really just through a couple of visionary leaders, through our founder and executive director, Sarah Elizabeth Ipple, and our current and first principal, Ann Gillespie. And they were working on this for years, on putting this school together, and through the Renaissance 2010 had the opportunity to start up a school and really to take a vision and turn it into reality.
When you say had the opportunity through Renaissance 2010, what does that mean?
So that is the program here in Chicago where new schools could be started, where they opened up, they set a goal of starting a certain number of schools, and you could set a put in an application in a vision forward, and it would go through the Board of Education, and eventually schools were chosen. And so it took about 3 years to get the school up and started.
So was this unique, the idea that, you know, with other schools being started, did they have this kind of agenda behind them?
You know, there are a lot of schools doing a lot of great things here in Chicago with sustainability and in line with Chicago's mission to be the greenest city. What's, I think, unique about the Academy for Global Citizenship is it really takes a holistic approach. It takes it all. It's not just one piece or one element of the picture. It really says if we have an opportunity here with kids to make a massive difference and change their habits and behaviors before they become habits and behaviors, let's start it early and let's do it right from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine a better way to do that, because the rest of us are all catching up as adults, trying to figure out how to do things right, how to save our own planet that we've gotten ourselves, well, that we've made a mess of.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it starts with a fundamental, I think, shift in just the way we think, which is we start teaching math and the ABCs when the kids are very early, because those are lessons they're going to need for the rest of their lives. But often the sustainability stuff, this gardening, yoga, healthy eating, et cetera.
Vermicomposting.
Worm composting, absolutely, yeah, is a big piece. These are skills that people, everyone, in a sense, should have throughout their whole life. And so just like the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, if you start them early, they become habits. They become part of who these kids are, not decisions that they make later in life. Just part of how you operate and part of how you live. And so you should live in a world that's in harmony and that works with nature.
Did you notice what he did, Sneaky, there? I said vermicomposting, and he said, oh, yeah, worm composting, and went right on. He's in teacher mode all the time. He wants to make sure people understand. And that's really smart. I mean, I have to do that on my show, too. You try to boil it down so that, you know, somebody says vermicomposting, and somebody else goes, what? What does that mean? Worms. It's
right.
Worms. So, but you've got the bins in the classroom.
Every single classroom has worms. We take food scraps, organic food scraps, from our cafeteria, and our sustainability and wellness teacher gives the kids a little Tupperware of scraps a couple times a week, a spray bottle, and the kid, it's kind of a treat. Whoever's doing well that day gets to go and feed the worms. And then they just did on Earth Day a great activity with our volunteers where we went out, took all the worm bins out, and they harvested all the compost and sprinkled it on our newly planted vegetable garden.
And was that also a reward for somebody, to sprinkle the compost?
For everybody. The volunteers loved it. The kids loved it. Yeah. Right? Kids love dirt, so let's give them more of it.
Yes, they do. My son's obsessed with earthworms.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Now, it is a Chicago public school.
Correct.
Let's clarify this. Who gets in?
It's open enrollment, which is done by lottery, and it's a blind lottery. So families merely need to apply, and then we have a lottery each year for the new kindergarten spots and then any other spots that open up in the later grades if kids leave.
Do you give preference to people in the neighborhood?
The only preference is given is to siblings. Other than that, it's 100% open. It's 100% transparent process. We actually invite everyone, whether or not you've applied in for the event, and we pull ping pong balls with numbers out of a bingo jar, and it's open enrollment for everyone. And that's one of the key goals here is to build community and to build diversity. And the thought is to be fair and to be open is the way to go.
It's got to be interesting. You know, you're in the second year, and you've got two classes. You're going to be adding as you go along, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of community you have. And by the end of the eighth year, the students who've been there 8 years are going to have a knowledge of sustainability that I could only have dreamed of as a child.
Absolutely. And I have to say, it only starts with the child, in a sense, and it goes to their families, and then it goes out into their community. And we've seen it already. Last weekend, we held a parent event where we actually taught about 14 parents vermicomposting, and a lot of them brought their kids to the event so they can do it at home. We taught them how to make worm bins out of Tupperware. And then from there, we connect a lot of community with it. We get a lot of donations of in-kind goods, of financial support from our community, which just draws them into the conversation of sustainability, draws them into the conversation of education. So what happens in the classroom is really just one piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's really about how we change an entire neighborhood, entire community, and out from there an entire world by just thinking positively and by doing something fun and by literally playing with dirt.
And more, because when we come back, I want to talk to Dan Schnitzer, who's Director of Sustainability and Operations at the Academy for Global Citizenship, about some of the other things going on, like solar power and what you do to educate the kids about solar power. It's really, really cool stuff. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Now, it's that time of year that I get the critter question. Dun, dun. And it's often about the burrowing kind, moles, voles, rabbits, squirrels, gophers, groundhogs. You know, the ones that will make your yard look like the B-movie version of Caddyshack. And is this at what point you do a quote for me from Caddyshack?
Oh, wow.
It's in the hole.
It's in the hole. All I could think of, which is nice.
Okay. See? I sprung it on you. Next time we do that, I need a quote.
Oh, now I'm going to go on YouTube, and I'm going to pull up the best of Eddie Murphy from, Bill Murray from Caddyshack.
Okay.
Getting my SNLs crossed.
Yeah. Next hour, we'll have Bill Murray. If you're going to use a product in your yard, use a safe one. Bonide's All Natural Mole Max, a granular product that you can put down with your spreader to cover your entire lawn. Or you can use a convenient shaker applicator for your flower or vegetable gardens. Use 3 to 4 times a year. Mole Max is a very effective repellent for those burrowing critters. Mole Max is safe to apply where kids and pets play, and it's safe for the environment. However, as with any product, please read and follow label directions. Mole Max can be found at Faisal, either Faisal or Faisal and Sons in Oak Lawn. They always throw these names at me. Waldhaus Farms in Grant Park and Prairie View Farm Market in Hampshire. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide Garden Naturals.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
By the way, if you're out near Cantini Park, next Sunday, May 2nd, Cantini is hosting its Cantini's Greenhouse Effect from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the one time during the year when you can go behind the scenes into their 18,000-square-foot 18,000 square foot greenhouse. And they only open it up once a year, and it's next Sunday, 10 to 3. And later on, we'll talk about our big dunes at Pesci's next week. Arbor Day is this Friday, April 30th, and SIDS wants to help you celebrate it in style. Their spring planting festival is still in progress through May 1st. Now, until then, you can take advantage of the largest selection of shade and ornamental trees in the area, all backed by their exclusive 100% guaranteed to grow promise. And here's the SIDS Arbor Day special offer. Free delivery is available on Arbor Day tree purchases. Meanwhile, visit SIDSonline.com today, where you'll find all kinds of great advice, like tips for what to do in your garden as April slides into May, how to care for your annuals, including vegetables, herbs, and ornamentals, how to choose perennials by height, color, and blooming sequence, how to cite trees and shrubs. And let's not forget that even though we're growing plants outside, our indoor tropicals still need love and attention. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. Mike Novak here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And we're talking to Dan Schnitzer, who's the director of sustainability and operations at the Academy for Global Citizenship. A couple of things. One of the before we get to the solar power there, one of the things that you're trying to do with the school is become an international baccalaureate program school. What does that mean for people who aren't familiar with it?
The international baccalaureate or IB program is a system that's in, I think, about 118 countries right now. And it's an educational style and system that really bases off of what we call units of inquiry, where questions are at the center of how things are taught. So the kids are not only encouraged, but really demanded of them that they ask a lot of questions and that they learn through asking questions. You'll see in our classrooms, kids won't get answers really before they ask questions. Or if they ask questions, we'll ask them what do they think the answers might be, and we'll let them explore it. So the whole educational approach in it that fits with the IB model is this level of inquiry and just being a person that's driven by inquiry. And then there are lots of other pieces to it, being a risk taker, being creative, etc., that just try to build a whole person and what it takes to be a whole, well-rounded person.
And when will you know about the IB program?
That's a process that we're going through. We're called a candidate school right now. Mm-hmm. So we are working with the IB organization, and I think we should know in about a year.
Okay. And I mentioned before solar power. Now, part of what you're doing is, again, teaching about sustainability, but something you mentioned to me before was there are three factors in sustainability.
Sure. Sustainability in these days often means only environmental sustainability, but we see that as one piece of the puzzle. We look at sustainability as academic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and financial sustainability, and all three go hand in hand. They're really not separate, and I think that's one of the reasons we have to look at them that way, which is how do we teach our kids to learn for a lifetime, not only to be lifelong learners, but to have knowledge and information now that they'll use for the rest of their life, as mm-hmm. we talked about before. Environmental sustainability, how do we have as minimal negative impact on the environment, and with that goes as much of a positive impact on the environment as possible. Just as we don't teach our kids to simply not do poorly, we actually teach them to do well. We need to say, how can we do well? And then financially as well, how do we make intelligent financial decisions that enable us to grow and operate as a business that sustains itself or that works within a system where we don't have to live in crisis mode?
So one of the things you're doing, you've got solar panels on the roof of the school, right?
Yeah, actually, we're about to put them up in a big solar installation project, and specifically, they're not going to be on the roof of the school.
Oh, okay. Where are they going to be?
We're working with a design company who has been great to donate their time, OWP&P and Canon Design, and they're building what we're calling a solar trellis out in the playground. It looks kind of like a reclining beach chair that the solar panels will be on, which will provide some shade as well in the playground. But the idea is twofold. One is, A, to provide that shade so it's multi-use, but also for accessibility for the kids, for the parents, for the community, so they can go and see it. If it's perched up on the roof, it provides energy, which is great, but how do we interact with that? How do we know what solar really means?
Well, one of the things it said, you know, I'm looking on the website, is that you have a readout of what, how much energy you're saving that the kids can actually see while they're standing in line for lunch.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you talked about sustainability, financial sustainability. The kids can see how much money you're saving.
Well, absolutely. And that also ties into transparency, right? It's a whole system. That makes sense. From that, let's take it to academic sustainability. Through that, they can start to learn math. As the kids get older, they can start to learn the sciences of solar. They can start to learn much more complex math. And that also ties in another great example is that is with our three urban chickens that we have, where they're learning about how to take care of animals. And
we couldn't forget the chickens, because that's one of the things that sold me on talking to you guys when I found out you had chickens.
I have a stunning ability to find a way to tie chickens into everything I talk about. So I'm glad for the opportunity. But yeah, you know, they learn about life sciences. They learn about where food comes from. They learn about how to take care of animals. They learn about, on top of the chicken coop is a square foot green roof. So they learn about geometry and math if they want to. They learn about gardening if they want to.
Amazing. Amazing. This is great stuff. It's the Academy for Global Citizenship right here on the South Side at 4647 West 47th Street. I wish you guys all the best and create a new generation of kids who understand the stuff that we should have learned 50 years ago.
Absolutely. And if I can just say, on our website, which is www.agcchicago.org, we also have posted a sustainability handbook that we've worked with a lot of partners with that helps schools, that help individuals go from wherever they are to one step more. And we by no means have all the answers or doing everything right yet, but that's what's exciting about this process, and that's what's exciting about working with others.
And, of course, again, that is www.agcchicago.org. Or just go to my website, mikenovak.net. Look at this week's show. I've got the link right there, and you can find out all the information.
Perfect.
Dan Schnitzer, thank you so much for coming by on a Sunday morning.
Thanks for having me.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, these days, more and more businesses are going green, and that's good news. But the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the value of those that have led the way. You know, so you talk about sustainability as we just were. WRD Environmental is a very sustainable company. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects, used recycled energy efficient supplies, and sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been part of their DNA since their founding 13 years ago, and even their location speaks to their commitment. WRD is in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings, and they're going to be having, they're behind one of the people behind the big plant sale up at Prairie Crossing, which is in a couple of weeks on the 8th of May. We'll talk about that more in the next couple of weeks. I do believe that GreenSense Radio is going to be up there as part of that celebration. Their civic contributions towards sustainability run deep. Staff members are on the boards of a variety of green organizations, and through the years, they have donated their expertise to a number of green nonprofits. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental. On the web at WRDEnvironmental.com. Now, I've got good news for you. EcoLawn has come to Chicago. Yes, I know that a lot of you are already using this revolutionary blend of fine fescue grasses that will tolerate shade. It will grow in clay soils, sandy soils, and nutrient-depleted soils. And you've been buying it online. But now, wait a second, we need a bell. Now it's available at Lake Street Landscape Supply at 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago. Go over there, say hi to Mark Moxley and tell him I sent you. And I'll have even more good news about EcoLawn next hour. Check it out at eco-lawn.com or go to lakestreetlandscapesupply.com. This is the low-maintenance, environmentally friendly lawn you've been waiting for.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If you're working on improving your garden soil, here's something you need to try. Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. I've been talking about this for 3 years on this show, going on 3 years now. Cotton burr compost is a great food source for beneficial soil organisms. It's those organisms that are making your plants healthy. And cotton burr compost feeds the organisms that feed your plants. Put a thin layer of cotton burr compost around your trees and shrubs. Roses in particular seem to thrive on it. However, any tree or shrub in distress is likely to respond to an application. Here's another thing you're going to like. It's a clay buster. Cotton burr compost is prized for its ability to break up tight clay soils. It improves moisture retention and fertility in sandy soils, and unlike wood and wood-based composts, will not tie up nutrients in the soil. Pick up a bag of Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost at your local independent lawn and garden dealer. You can find Back to Nature products at Bob's Salt and Feed in West Chicago, Wheaton Nursery in Wheaton, and The Chalet in Wilmette. All right, Ms. Fry. Foghorn, is that what you got for me here? All right, let's try this. Since we're talking about chickens.
Is it doing anything?
No, I don't hear. Oh, there you go. You need some volume. Nope.
Wait, trying again. Hold on.
Okay. Rebooting. No, I don't.
All right, Seagull. Go. Are you coming with me quietly or do I have to slap you around some?
I want to know, like, Mel Blanc and all those guys, you know, they were these, you know, older, probably white guys standing around a room doing all these cartoons, voicing all these tracks. How did they do it with a straight face is my question.
They didn't. They were out of control.
They
over
must
there.
Have been. That right. must have been fun.
Yeah.
But I still can't. It's hard for me to envision you when you think of them, like what they actually look like standing around doing these cartoons.
I just came up with a brilliant idea for a movie about those guys in the studio at Warner Brothers putting those cartoons together. Would that be an awesome movie?
That would be an awesome movie.
All right.
And then they have to jump over to Bullwinkle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And speaking of,
knocking things out?
I can't. Everything's in the B position today. Everything's in the B position. Let's try that again. Rick DeMaio Weather is brought to you by the Knockout Family of Roses. They bloom from spring until frost, are easy to grow and maintain, and are supremely resistant to disease. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio. Wow, that was rough. Rick DeMaio, how are you? Are you there?
He's on line 2.
Oh, I gotta put him
on line.
You
gotta push the button.
I gotta push the button.
It's okay. It's okay. It's Sunday. You look nice. You look really right. good, Mike. You look good.
Who cares how I perform? It's how do I look?
Well, it's usually about how we sound, but we're going to take what we can get.
Oh, boy. Hey.
It sounds like, Mike, there's a little vortex tornado went through your studio there.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure. It's all on the fly. This is all.
It's live.
It's live radio. There's nothing taped here, nothing edited, nothing cleaned up.
Mm.
It is what it is.
I think in Columbia College they call that pre-production. That doesn't exist.
We have some
pre-production. Okay, Mr. Pre-Production, what's going on out there?
I'm actually on my balcony watching the occluded front move south of us. The only weather geeks can say that with some pride, Mike.
I know, and not very many people can actually stand on their balcony and watch an occluded front.
Yeah, and you know what? It's amazing because last night I was up in Evanston doing some shopping with my son, and all of a sudden I'm looking out the window and I see things flying by in a horizontal direction. I'm like, what is going on? And prior to that, you had mentioned the fog. We had some incredibly dense fog, some very, very low clouds, particularly along the lakefront. ceiling was down, the cloud height was down about 100 feet, and the visibility was about a quarter mile or so. The wind was off the lake at about 20 to 25 miles an hour. And then there was a couple of raindrops, and all of a sudden the wind picked up to nearly 40 miles per hour. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And sure enough, there was a batch of heavier rain that was moving northward from southern areas of Lake Michigan, and it produced wind gusts to nearly 55 miles per hour at the Harrison Deaver Crib. That's that large stone building that you see offshore, Navy Pier or Grand Park. There's a couple of water intake cribs. So this was kind of an interesting setup last night. We had this very deep area of low pressure, which still continues to spin and move very slowly across central Illinois. We had this warm frontal boundary south of us this time of the year when the water temperature is only 40 degrees and you have dew point temperatures of 50 or more going over that cooler water. That air is immediately cooled and condensed, and you end up getting low clouds. And as soon as that batch of rain came through, it's almost like it broke through this seal of clouds, and we had these winds that were above the surface press all the way down to the surface. And next thing you know, you had 50 to 55 mile per hour winds along the surface last night, and all we had was just a little bit of moderate rain moving through. So it was for the weather enthusiasts like myself, it was quite an interesting evening. Then you wake up and the sun is shining through some of the clouds, and the wind is out of the south. You're thinking to yourself, where's all the rain? And it basically pushed north of us. But obviously nothing compared to, Mike, what residents down in Mississippi, experienced yesterday with long track tornadoes. I think the death toll now is up to about 10, unless you saw something earlier, but quite the significant outbreak when you have 54 tornadoes and, these small communities in southern Mississippi just completely ravaged by, from what I can see, high-end F3, low-end F4 damage. And even though the tornado season has been somewhat quiet, you hate it when it happens that quickly, particularly in an early part of it was an early Saturday morning event, which was really sad for a lot of the people down there, Mike.
And I heard that one of the storms was a mile wide. Something like that?
Yeah, I think what happens is you tend to get these wide tornadoes this year only because the farm fields are still fairly young. They're just recently tilled or just recently planted, particularly in that part of the country. So you end up getting a lot of dust and debris. So what would be probably a half-mile-wide tornado, as you get into, say, late July and early August, becomes obviously a lot wider during the spring season. And I think this is something that I try to teach my students is how wide the tornado is doesn't necessarily mean, how damaging it is. And I show them pictures of the 1967 April 21st Oaklawn Belvedere tornado. We just had that anniversary just a couple of days ago. The southwest side of Chicago, those tornadoes were moving 65 miles per hour. They were F4 rated intensity, wind speeds over 200 miles per hour. And even if you just Google Oaklawn tornado, you'll be able to upload some photographs. And, this is the southwest side of Chicago, and one side of a block, the houses were completely untouched, and the other side, they were completely destroyed. So that's where your tornado was moving so fast that the debris can't maintain itself in the core of the funnel. So it's almost like when you're in the mall and you see a mom dragging two kids along, the kid is like trying to keep up with the mom. That's kind of like what your debris field would be with a fast moving tornado. And I can recall many times being in the mall with my mother with five kids, and she pretty much seemed like a tornado at the end of the day, and we were just debris kind of holding on to the funnel, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was an F4 that went through Oaklawn.
Oh yeah, that to this day, Mike, is the deadliest tornado outbreak in the history of Northern Illinois. We had 10 tornadoes that day. Four were F4 rated. There was one that moved through Belvedere that killed 25 people. 13 of them were on school buses, and which was obviously the wrong place to be. And then the other 33. Which brought the total death toll to 58, was down at Oaklawn Evergreen Park. And unfortunately, 16 people died in their cars waiting for the light to change, or at least waiting to go through the intersection at Southwest Highway and 95th Street, which is why we tell people so often, a vehicle or bus, anything to be can be lifted up off the ground and moved around very easily is the wrong place to be. So you look at that event in Chicago, 1967. You have 58 fatalities, 29 of them related to people in vehicles, and you kind of can quickly point to the place not to be. But yeah, those were very, very fast moving tornadoes. They were moving about 65 miles per hour. The ones that came through Mississippi yesterday were not so much moving fast. I think they were moving about 40 or 45 miles per hour. But I was tracking some of them yesterday morning, and they were just big, big storms. And I think for residents living in some of these smaller homes, mobile homes in that part of the country, studies have shown that that's actually that part of the United States, northern Mississippi, northeast Louisiana, northwest Alabama, and in that western Tennessee area. That area, believe it or not, has the highest percentage of fatalities of anywhere else in the United States, mainly due to the fact that people are, A, either not getting the warnings properly, B, the information isn't getting to them, it's not their fault, C, probably not that good education from a or not that effective education from a standpoint of understanding what to do. And then D, obviously, living in structures that are more susceptible to tornadoes. So even though we've had a quiet, severe weather season here in the Chicagoland area, you know, it always becomes somewhat of a wake-up call to what to do and how to handle certain situations like that, particularly for educators. When you were talking to the man earlier today, the first thing I think about is, what do people need to know about stuff like that?
Yeah, and as you say, one of the things they need to know is don't stay in the car.
Right, right. But, you know, good thing is that we don't have anything to worry about that for around here for today, tomorrow, or probably the next 5 days.
All right. I'll tell you what, we'll use that as a tease. and I want to talk to you about the rainfall in the area.
I got all those numbers for you.
Yeah, great. That's Rick DeMille. We will have the forecast coming right up.
Do you want your landscape to stand out, but don't know where to start? A landscape that stands out starts with a knockout. The knockout family of roses are the most disease-resistant roses available. All seven members of the knockout family are easy to grow and require no special care. Tons of flowers bloom from spring until frost, making your landscape stand out all season long. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio.
If you want to get your lawn off of the chemical merry-go-round and go organic, you'll never find a better time than right now. The ground is warming up and weed seeds are about to sprout. Now, you can stop them with Espoma Organic Weed Preventer. It helps prevent tough weeds from establishing in the spring organically. The secret is corn gluten meal, a byproduct from the production of corn starch for food, but for some reason, it helps to keep seeds from germinating properly, including weed seeds. Spread Espoma Organic Weed Preventer as recommended when the forsythias pop, which just happened, in case you didn't notice, in the last couple of weeks, and then again at the end of the summer. It will keep weeds like crabgrass and foxtail from getting started on your lawn. And while it won't kill already established perennials like dandelions, it will keep their seeds from germinating, which means that the longer you use Espoma Organic Weed Preventer, the fewer weeds you will see. Espoma Organic Weed Preventer also includes 100% natural organic nitrogen. Visit Espoma.com, and while you're there, join the Espoma Garden Club, ESPOMA, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bobex. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bobex repellent sprays. Bobex guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bobex repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bobex's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bobex won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bobex at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bobex. To learn more about Bobex, go to Bobex.com. That's Bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
So what are you doing at this time next Sunday? And I guess, Rick DeMaio, I'm going to ask you that, too. I hope you're going to head over to Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. We've been missing each other, Rick and I, for the last couple of days, but I'm trying to see if I can get him to make a personal appearance, because we're going to be broadcasting the Mike Novak Show and Mighty House, both shows, from Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, as the second day of their Dr. Earth days next week, from 8 a.m. to noon. Both shows, The Mike Novak Show and Mighty House, are on location from Pesci's Garden Center, 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road. Stop by for the broadcast, ask gardening and home improvement questions, or just hang out and take advantage of Pesci's spring offerings. They're homegrown vegetables and herbs hardened to area weather, grown from the best seed available, and raised in a quality-controlled environment, not to mention their fabulous ornamentals like geraniums, begonias, pansies, ranunculus, and more. Dr. Earth Days are both Saturday and Sunday, May 1st and 2nd. Dr. Earth founder and organic gardening expert Milo Seamus will be there both days, and I'll be talking to him on my show on Sunday. Pesci's in Des Plaines, family-owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is off 294, I-294, on South River Road, just north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Stop by next Sunday and be part of the big broadcast, and I'm trying to drag you into that too, Rick.
I don't. So if I'm on the show, will you put me on TV?
What do you mean? Will I put you on TV? You're already.
Oh, this is radio. Oh, okay. It's the other medium.
No, right. No, this is what we. It's not just radio. It's a live presentation with a live audience.
Yeah, let me see. Only because my birthday is on April 30th, and I may be, who knows? I may be recovering on Sunday, so I'll have to think about that.
All right. Well, we'll put that tease out there. Rick DeMaio may be at Pesci's. I was thinking if you do that, you could do two forecasts. You could do one during my show and then one during Mighty House.
Yeah, I could probably do that for you.
You're going to do it anyway. It's either going to be on the phone or it's going to be in person. So,
I'll let you know about that.
How sad is this that they have the show host begging his weather guy to show up at an event next week?
Well, don't worry, Mike.
I've heard about
I'll be
it,
there.
So, I have to check my CrackBerry. You know what I'm saying?
I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah. You know what? I just want to talk about this real quickly because I know you probably mentioned it, but you obviously the keynote speaker at Earth Day a couple weeks ago. That went well, I imagine.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that day I was also the keynote speaker at the Chicago local chapter of the American Meteorological Society, and my talk was basically on 25 years as a meteorologist, the highs and lows and in betweens. But it was basically a talk about meteorologists. It wasn't about me in general. So a lot of the people there, I kind of brought them into the fray. But it was interesting because they give out these awards at the beginning of the talk, and I didn't know. I knew that I was close, but I didn't know it was that close. But for the second time out of the last 3 years, I was the winner of the annual snowfall forecasting contest. And there's about 150 of us that get involved, and I came within 1 inch of forecasting the correct amount of snow at O'Hare. And you know what? People say, oh, my God, that's so great. You're an excellent meteorologist. But you know what? A lot of it is luck. It really is. I mean, there were, a couple of times when I thought I was, going to be right on, and then this one little snow event occurred. I was like, oh, man, I didn't know that was going to happen. So, but it's nice. It's nice to be honored for something.
Hey, do you get a big trophy that you walk home with?
Yeah, it's called a $50, gift card.
Oh, well, hey, I'll take a $50 gift card. That works.
So will I.
And you did.
And I did.
So congratulations on the award for the...
I had a gut feeling that we were going to get a lot of snow this past winter, and even though a lot of people...
Hey, wait a second. Yeah. I happen to know that you don't work on gut feeling. You know what? I know what you work on.
What? Science. Oh, God. Here we go again.
That's what you... Mm-hmm. You don't want me to play that anymore, do you, huh?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's kind of like the girlfriend telling the guy, when he holds the shirt up, what about this one? And they go,
No.
No.
No. Okay. I won't play that. Well, let me put it this way. I won't play it next week. All right, it will not be played on this show.
And don't play it twice the week after to make up for the week that you missed.
Okay, I won't do that either.
Let's run down some of the numbers, Mike. We got about a half inch of rain at Rockford, about a half inch at Waukegan, 4/10 at Aurora, about 3/10 at Pewaukee, about 6/10 in Valparaiso. So the rainfall was actually scattered about. The good thing, Mike, is that it came over a long period of time, so I really think our topsoil really benefited from this rain. The better news is that we'll have clouds today, maybe a little bit more rain by late this afternoon, so whatever rain did fall is not going to evaporate. A couple weeks ago, we had some real high evaporation rates. But I tell you, this is great, great stuff for the flowers that are beginning to really suck up, you know, some of that deep moisture down about 4 inches. Subsoil temperature running at about 54 to about 55 degrees. The recent, you know, span of more seasonal temperatures, you know, cooler, about 20 degrees cooler we had a couple weeks ago. If you notice, everything kind of slowed down. All the trees, even though they're still blooming, everything kind of slowed down, which is great. This could not be a better setup heading into the growing season. We'll have clouds today, winds off the lake, temperatures probably upper 40s, North Shore, mid-50s city, probably low 60s far south. It looks like the heaviest rain, though, is going to remain south of us. There was some concern we may get into a band of heavier rain, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm looking for about a quarter inch to 3/10 of an inch late this afternoon through tonight. And then we dry out, we cool off for Monday and Tuesday. Morning lows, probably upper 30s, near 40. No threat of a frost or a freeze. Both days, Monday and Tuesday, temperatures upper 50s, or I should say mid-50s, to probably 60 far south, low 50s lakefront. But then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, looks like we warm back up into the upper 60s and near 70, and maybe a pretty good chance of some rain again for Friday night into Saturday of next week. So a very good spring season. We were warm the first part of the month. We're going to be wet the second part. Rainfall right now running about 2.75 inches officially out of here, which is about a tenth of an inch below normal. But I think we'll make it up by the end of the week. So I think going into the month of May, and from what I understand, a lot of the farmers are, if not only almost completely planted, pretty close to that. So from the agricultural community and from the growing season,
yeah, they're doing pretty well. And it has been a good spring, and I'm glad we got the rain because we were at a point where we started to need it.
Yeah.
Rick DeMaio weather every week on the Mike Novak Show at 8:30. He may or may not be at Pesci's next week, so come on by just to see if he shows up.
If I am there, Mike, the people will see me. How about that?
You will see Rick DeMaio if he's there next week at Pesci's. All right, thanks a lot, Rick. I will talk to you soon. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. With money tight, you're going to hear landscapers say, "Don't worry, I do tree care." When they say that, here's what you ask them. Are you a trained, educated, and certified tree professional? That's what you'll get with the Care of Trees. They are trained in up-to-date technologies and techniques and use safe work practices. They are also bonded and insured to protect you and their workers. Can you say that about Joe the landscaper? With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. The Care of Trees puts you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Listen, these are great folks. They know their stuff. One of the things I like about them is that they are so nice, and I'm proud to have them as sponsors on the Mike Novak Show. Go to thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their businesses, people, and their love for trees. Presenting the new American Lawn from Jonathan Green. They have great lawn seeds and great fertilizers, like their Natural Beauty all-organic lawn fertilizer. What makes this fertilizer different is that it doesn't have any phosphorus, which can create algae blooms in our lakes and streams. Jonathan Green Natural Beauty all-organic lawn fertilizer does contain 25% humates, the best food source for the beneficial microbes in the soil. It provides excellent soil and turf nutrition for up to 10 weeks per application. It's rich in primal humates, fossilized remains of plant and animal life, and these humates are combined with kelp meal, feather bone, I'm sorry, feather, bone, and blood meals to form a complete homogeneous organic lawn fertilizer. Natural Beauty also contains amino acids, vitamins, and polysaccharides, which are naturally derived from fruits and vegetables. And this unique formula feeds beneficial soil microbes, prevents thatch buildup, and increases earthworm activity. What more could you want from a fertilizer? You can find Jonathan Green products at Pesquazy Home and Garden in Lake Bluff, Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook, and Allsip Home and Nursery in St. John, Indiana. All right, in about a minute, we're going to CNN News. But before that, I'm just going to turn on the microphones and everybody just say hi. We've got the family wrap here in the studio. Everybody say hi.
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 Okay, that's all the time we have. Good night, everybody. They are here, and in just a few short minutes, they're going to tell us about their excellent adventure with garbage and trash and recyclables and all that stuff. How one family is truly making a difference in the world. I'm very excited to have them on board, and we will do that. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Stick around. I hope you will be back after this.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Don't breathe down my neck, no. I've got no toys.
So do we have, Amtrak Tim went away, huh? He hung up. See, there's a lot going on, Tim. You know, you got to hold on, not for an hour, but for an hour and a half.
Yeah, he's a trooper, though.
He is a trooper. I do like hearing from Amtrak, Tim. But, you know, it's spring. And in spring, things are really busy here in the studio. And they're particularly busy this morning. I have an entire family sitting right here. And I don't mean you, Heather, because you're family in a way. But the nuclear unit here, is it pronounced rap?
Yes.
And I figured that was it because the email I got was that's a rap. And so, but it's spelled R-A-P-P-E. But in studio, I have Scott, Grace, Matthew, and Nicholas. Now, who's I figured that's Grace. You're Grace, right?
Good. Yep.
Good. Keen powers of observation, right? And I figure you're Scott because I've been communicating with you, Scott. Which is Nicholas and which is Matthew?
I'm Nicholas.
You're Nicholas. Pull that microphone over. All right, Nicholas. How old are you, Nicholas?
9.
And when are you going to be 10?
November 12th.
Okay. So that, by process of elimination, you're Matthew. Why don't you pull that mic over, too?
Yeah.
And how old are you,
Matthew? I'm 12.
Okay. Now, I'm just assuming here that Dad is behind all of this somehow. Is that true, Dad?
To some extent.
Okay.
I certainly dragged everybody into it.
Kicking and screaming all the way, right?
A lot of screaming, a little bit of kicking.
All right, why don't you explain what you dragged your family into for an entire year, Scott?
Well, I've always been curious about how much we were throwing away. And, you know, there's this mysterious blue truck or black truck that drives down the alley every week or 2 weeks to pick up our trash. And, you know, it just sort of disappears. You never have a sense of what you're actually throwing away. And short of just dumping it in a huge pile in the backyard, I thought it would be sort of interesting to run an experiment from January 1st to December 31st and just weigh it all.
How did you get that idea?
You know, I actually heard a story about a woman that tried to have absolutely no impact at all. And those things that she couldn't avoid having impact on, she did something similar. She weighed and then tried to dispose of properly everything that she encountered.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just get a sense of how much there was. And so we separated it into a group of categories and went from there.
And the group of categories is actually on my website. It's also on the East Village Association newsletter. You wrote a little story about this, and you even made the little graph, which is really impressive.
Yeah.
And the most remarkable thing about this is that you... you're so much better already than most people. Your family is so so good at not producing waste. It's almost not fair to compare what you guys do to what other people do.
Well, that's true. What the graph that we did, the little pie chart that we did, it only shows half the story. It only shows what got thrown out, and the other half of the story is all the stuff that didn't or hasn't been thrown out yet. By which I mean we've taken a lot of effort to extend the life of things so that they don't end up in the trash before they have to. So we repair things, we re-gift things, we reuse things. We buy things that are reusable and repairable. So rather than buying the least expensive thing, we'll buy something that has non-proprietary parts that are easy to change out.
Scott, that's enlightened. What's wrong with you? That's anti-American, all right?
No, it's actually pro-American because repairing things creates jobs, and in particular, it creates local jobs. Manufacturing sends jobs overseas because we don't make things here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you repair things, you're going to local neighborhood shops like our dry cleaners, who does a wonderful job repairing clothing, modifying things so that they fit again, and repair shoes. And the internet is another amazing resource where we can source parts for obscure and obsolete things through eBay and Craigslist, and we're able to repair things and make them useful again.
That's Scott Rapp. He and his family are in the studio, Grace, Matthew, and Nicholas. And let's talk about this chart a little bit. You claim in your article that you produced 1,800 pounds of waste, but that wasn't waste because you recycled 688 pounds of paper. You composted 496 pounds. The paper, by the way, was 38% of the total. Compost is 28% of the total. You had 43 pounds of metal, which was 2%. You had 330 pounds of glass, which was 18%. And plastic, you had 47 pounds, which is about the same as the metal, around 3%. But as you mentioned in the story, by volume, it's a lot bigger because right. plastic is so light.
Right, right, exactly.
And that left what you call trash. This is the stuff that actually went into your black bin and got picked up and hauled away, 197 pounds for the year, for the entire year.
Right.
I think most people produce that in a week. and that was 11% of your total.
Yeah.
If everybody in the country did that, we wouldn't have landfills. We wouldn't need landfills.
Right.
Now, you do happen to be a vegetarian family, so you do a lot of composting. Who's in charge of the composting?
I've involved the boys in that.
All right, well, let's slide those microphones over, guys. What do you do with the... You can actually bring it closer to you, not farther, because... do that too, Nicholas. All right, so what do you guys... how does it start? How do you work the compost? Take me from A to Z in terms of putting compost together.
Okay, so let's say that you're eating a banana. Once you finish the banana, you take the peel, and we have a little metal, like, can, and you just put it in there.
And that's in the kitchen, right? It's a holding area, because I've got one of those, too. I got one of the bamboo ones with the plastic liner on the inside, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And... so you start with the food scrap in the kitchen, and you put it in it's a holding area, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then what happens?
And then after, like, a week or so, it decomposes more, and then you transfer it to the one outside.
Okay. To the one outside. And what have you got outside?
We have a bigger, like a normal sized metal trash can outside in the garden.
Is that a composting bin of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
Does it tumble or not?
It doesn't really do anything special. It just we poke holes in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the morning, our dad takes a pitchfork and he just stabs it and turns it, and so that's what kind of turns it.
Don't you? Oh, so it's dad labor that turns the compost pile, huh? Do you guys help turn the compost pile, or do you just throw the stuff into it?
We just kind of throw the stuff in. We help turn it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then what happens after it's in this container, outdoor container, for a while?
I'm not sure how long, but after a while, we just take it and we dump it on the garden.
Wow. So finished product, put it right to work in the garden. What do you guys grow in the garden?
Mostly flowers. I don't know what kind, though.
Are you going to get to growing your own vegetables, too? I guess that would be part of the, that would be one of the steps you could take.
Mm-hmm. We tried to grow tomatoes last year, I think.
Tried?
Yeah.
Did you not do well?
Well,
I think the squirrels got to them before we did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood, it's the rats, but, you know. I don't know if the rats. Let's go after the tomatoes.
They were under your terracotta pot. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. And don't forget, last year, my tomatoes that were in my neighbor's yard got stolen by somebody because my neighbor left the gate open so that so they could pick up the garbage, and somebody pilfered, yes, my tomatoes. So, because I had them in earth boxes next door in my neighbor's yard.
Yeah, so we've really started supporting farmers markets. And
yes, bring that over, Mom.
More the community-supported agriculture and, you know, sort of giving up on trying to grow our own food.
You know, but that's a good way to go. You know, if you can't grow your own food, if you feel like you're not as successful or you don't have the area, then you start supporting CSAs, community-supported agriculture.
Yeah, a lot of the lots in the city, I mean, they're pretty shady and all. So sometimes it's just not possible to get enough sun to do that.
All right. Well, while I've got the microphone over your way, mm-hmm. Mom, did you think your husband was crazy when he started this?
No, I didn't think he was crazy. But I have to say that Scott's the one that, you know, if anybody practices what they preach, you know, he's probably a really good example of that. I mean, both of us are pretty green in that our credentials. We're LEED certified. We're both architects. I've been involved with the U.S.
Okay,
Green
when
Building.
You say you're personally LEED certified, so you...
I was thinking, LEED accredited.
LEED accredited.
Oh, okay. Because I want to be LEED certified, but
LEED accredited.
It's never going to happen.
And I think we've been doing that for about 9 years now. So every time there's something new that's happening and some new technology, and we've been involved with green roofs in my practice. And so it's something natural that we bring home this information. So really, this last year, we really tried to practice what we preach.
And you did. I mean, you stepped up to the plate. Are you doing it again this year, or was this just a one-year experiment?
Well, we're not weighing it, but we're certainly doing all of the efforts to reduce what we bring into the house to begin with and extend the life of those things. But I think, you know, we established a baseline, and I think as we make improvements, eventually we'll probably run the experiment again and see if we've actually reduced the numbers.
Well, that's what I would think. I mean, doing it for the 1 year, you get to see what the baseline is, as you say, and then moving forward, are we doing better or are we creating more stuff? And some of that may change just because families change and, mm-hmm. you know, people grow older. And do they use more? Do they use less? I think it would be an interesting experiment.
Yeah. And, you know, there's two parts to this. There's definitely a message out there in the culture that we need to take personal responsibility for this. And that's absolutely true. But there is another aspect to this, and it's on the corporate side and the government side. You know, we compost at home in our own backyard because the city doesn't collect organic materials, and there are cities like San Francisco that do this. So that's something that hopefully Chicago.
Well, you're talking about. Are you in a blue cart?
We are.
Now, but the thing is, what they pick up is yard waste, which is different from food scrap composting.
Right. And you know, you can't at this point throw food waste into those brown bags that are picked up with the yard waste.
Well, you could, but I don't want to be subversive or anything. But who's going to know?
Well, the rats would certainly.
Yeah.
point.
They would know.
They'd point their.
Although that
tails.
You know, most of the time they're interested in the meat scraps and that sort of thing.
Right.
And you guys are vegetarians.
Right. And things that you can't normally compost, dairy, cheese, meat, fish, bones, those sorts of things. We do have another parallel composting system that uses Bokashi, a brand product. And that just accelerates the process, and it sort of pickles the waste, and then you can throw it into the compost.
All right. We're going to stop right there because I saw this Bokashi, what? and even people I know who are sophisticated looked at that and went, what are they talking about? I want one of those. So everybody hang on. We're going to talk about did you say Bokashia or is it Bokashi?
Bokashi.
Bokashi.
Yeah.
Gesundheit. We will talk about that with the Rapp family. Scott, Grace, Nicholas, and Matthew are all in the studio. They are... I tell you what, if you want to call and ask how they did it and kept their sanity, weighing all their trash for 1 year. And I want to talk about that, too, when we get back here. The physical doing the weighing process, and I bet that got a little weird after a while, especially if you're doing it every day. You can give us a call at 773-838-9278, 773-838-WCPT if you want to talk to the greenest family around, and that's the Rapp family. Now, this is the time of year that I get the critter question. We were talking about this earlier. Often it's the burrowing kind, moles, voles, rabbits, squirrels, gophers, groundhogs, yada, yada, yada. Well, here's one of the products that should be in your arsenal. Bonide's All-Natural Mole Max, a granular product that you can put down with your spreader to cover your entire lawn, or you can use a convenient shaker applicator for your flower or vegetable gardens. Use 3 to 4 times a year. Molemax is a very effective repellent for those burrowing critters. Molemax is safe to apply where kids and pets play, and it's safe for the environment. As with any product, please read and follow label directions. It's not that hard to do, and it's very important. Molemax can be found at Busy Bee Nursery in Crestwood, Geimer Greenhouse in Long Grove, and James Sonoris and Sons in Chicago Ridge.
Hello, gardeners. It's Anne from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good. And you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
You know, you go to the Wikipedia entry for character, and you see Anne Malloy from Neptune's Harvest. She's awesome. Yeah, she's a piece of work, too. Arbor Day is this Friday, April 30th, and SIDS wants to help you celebrate it in style. Their spring planting festival is still in progress through May 1st. Until then, you can take advantage of the largest selection of shade and ornamental trees in the area, all backed by their exclusive 100% guaranteed to grow promise. And here's the SIDS Arbor Day special offer. Free delivery is available on Arbor Day tree purchases. Meanwhile, visit SIDSonline.com today, where you'll find all kinds of great advice, like tips for what to do in your garden as April slides into May, how to care for annuals, including vegetables, herbs, and ornamentals, how to choose perennials by height, color, and blooming sequence, how to site trees and shrubs, and let's not forget that even though we're growing plants outside now, our indoor tropicals still need love and attention. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. We'll be right back. We're kind of on a cartoon kick this morning, so I had to play Dudley Do Right. Yeah, we did a little Fractured Fairy Tales. I don't know if you caught that to start the... Or actually, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. That trick never works. All right. That was my misspent childhood. I know there's a lot more sophisticated... Actually, that was pretty sophisticated for the day. Do you guys ever watch Rocky and Bullwinkle? I got to ask you. Have you ever seen that? No?
No.
You guys don't know what Rocky and Bullwinkle... Oh, they're breaking my heart. Yeah. They're breaking my heart. Okay, you, Dad, Mom, you have to show them Rocky and Bullwinkle. Of course, they won't get the whole Cold War thing, but I didn't either when I was 7. So, all right. That is the Rat family. They are in the studio, Scott and Grace and Matthew and Nicholas, and they spent last year weighing all of their trash and then, you know, creating a graph and showing people how easy it is. Well, that's a relative term, I guess, too. But it is. It's really not that hard, is it?
No, not at all.
Do you have a question, Heather? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question via a caller.
Okay, what'd the caller want?
The caller wanted to know, they want to start composting. They're in the car, so they couldn't stay on the line. But they're going to start composting in their backyard, and they have the metal garbage can that they bought from the hardware store. And they were just curious, in doing that, how do you get started, and do you guys cover it? Do you leave it uncovered? Do you have to rotate that? They want a little more details on that, because they want to start
good,
in their
really
yard.
Really good questions, yes.
Perfect, yeah. And let me say this right now. I mean, one of the interests that I have in this whole thing is that this not be too difficult. I know very little about composting. Everything that I know is basically through trial and error. So to answer that question, simply perforate that galvanized garbage pail with a lot of holes, especially on the bottom, so liquids can drain out.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure the lid is tightly fitting on top so that you don't attract any sort of vermin or insects.
Raccoons, yeah.
Raccoons.
Raccoons? Yeah. You have raccoon problems in East Village?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a euphemism for rat.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I really hate to use that word.
That's a rat tune. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean, there are ways to optimize this, and there are people who know much, much more about composting who are really into it.
Well, one of the things you can do is you can just go to cityofchicago.org/environment and find all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You can go to Illinois Extension. That would be UrbanExt, UIC.edu.
Try it out.
Or just say Google composting.
Yeah.
The way you did it, you kind of created your own composting bid by taking the galvanized. Is it galvanized?
Yeah, it's just one of those sort of the Sesame Street Oscar the Grouch garbage can. That's what it is.
And then you just put holes in it, especially in the bottom, so that it can drain, because you have to have water. There's always going to be water produced.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can cover it up.
Right.
And then, now the question I have is how you turn it. You do actually get in there with the pitchfork? I mean, with a container that small, it's got to be a little bit difficult to make that to turn that stuff.
It is, and that's something that over the next year I'm going to spend a little bit of mental effort trying to figure out how to maybe put this on a rotating base so that it sits at an angle and tumbles easier. Because it is sort of
well, you can buy those
work.
Tumblers too that you just crank. Or City of Chicago also has the Darth Vader helmets that I call them. That they're composting bins. They're big black plastic, and they attach down, and you put a mesh at the bottom so the rats can't get in them, and you cover them, and it's a little easier to get into and mix the stuff up.
Right. We didn't have good luck with the plastic ones.
Oh, okay.
We started with that.
Yeah, they tended to get gnawed on, and we weren't.
Well, you know
anything.
That. I mean, if you look at your black bins in the alley,
yes.
And you see all the chew holes, you go, well, that's not working. That's not keeping anything out.
And what amazed me was I did do quite a bit of research to try to find urban composting solutions, and really was very surprised that there was no support for urban composting.
Really?
Yeah. So this is something that evidently has not been deeply explored by people.
Are you listening, folks? We need more urban composting.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, because, you know, the city says you're not supposed to have an open compost pile. All right? I know a lot of people who just ignore that. And then they provide, as you say, the plastic ones that can get chewed. And so rats get in there. So what's your option? Then you buy a tumbler, and some of them can be a little pricey, and not everybody can afford that. And the other thing is they don't hold a lot of material.
That was the biggest challenge. There is a nice tumbler system, but it's just too small for a vegetarian family anyway. We produce a prodigious amount of scrap.
So. Uh-huh. All right, well, let's go to that bokashi. All right, because one of the things you said is that it's one thing if you have food waste that's leafy, it's vegetables. But when you get dairy and cheese and that sort of thing, you bokashi it. And what is that? And I suppose you could do this with meat as well, right?
Right.
All right. What's bokashi?
Bokashi is a rice bran based dried bacterial compound, and it just looks like light brown coffee grounds. It's dried, has no odor, and when it's mixed with a damp food product, the bacteria in it come back to life and digest the food rapidly, and they sort of pickle it. So all of the things that you couldn't traditionally compost become this sort of ghost version of themselves and then can be composted directly.
This doesn't happen in the house. So this is where there's a 5-gallon bucket sitting outside on our deck. So as we get these kinds of products, that goes into the outside in this 5-gallon bucket, and then Scott sprinkles stuff on top of it.
And how long does this process take for decomposition?
Well, we have a separate container in the house from our typical countertop composter collector, where we put any sort of product that's going into the bokashi stream. And then when that gets filled at the end of the week, that goes into a 5-gallon bucket that's airtight, and it has a little it's literally an old drywall bucket that we fitted with a screw top, and it has a little drain plug at the bottom like you would find on a picnic cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And every couple of days you drain off the liquid. So as the bokashi act, they reduce the liquid out of it. It condenses at the bottom. That gets drained off. It's compost tea, basically. You water it down and put it on your garden.
Mm. And how long does it take to... Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
This is where the whole process started to get, really extreme for me. It was no longer just throwing things into the... Once we got into the bokashi and we had to buy it on the internet and start sprinkling and then draining off the compost tea and using it in the flowers, I thought, oh, man, we are really... We might as well move to Portland now.
Buy a lot of Grateful Dead albums.
No, it's not that extreme. It really isn't.
Come on, Dad, defend yourself. Go for it.
It's a very simple process. And
we got to have the kids weigh in. All right. Nicholas and Matthew, what do you, how is it complicated?
No, the bucket that we put it in, it has a little knob, like one of those water container things.
Uh-huh.
In an office. And then you just, when you open the nozzle, all the water comes out.
So it's not that hard. But
no,
do you sprinkle, does Dad always sprinkle the stuff? Is he the one who sprinkles the bokashi stuff in there?
Yeah.
So he's the one kind of keeping track of where it is in the decomposition process.
Yeah, but
it doesn't require that much effort.
Heather has a question here. Why don't you pull
odor.
That? Odor? Yeah.
Well, that's the main advantage of the bokashi is because you can't throw this food directly into the compost bin.
Right.
It needs to stay around for a little bit till you collect enough of it and it breaks down. And the bokashi seem to control the odor quite effectively. When I open this, the 5-gallon bucket usually takes 2 or 3 months to fill. And when I open it at the end of that 2 or 3 months, there's nothing but the typical damp sort of compost. I wouldn't even call it an odor. It's just more of a sensation. There's, a humidity to it. But definitely no odor as far as rotting food or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be this has to be doable for people,
Well, that's the point. Any system like this that's going to be sustainable, if you don't make it easy
right.
for folks, they won't do it.
Right, exactly. So I'm really sensitive to that. We're not doing anything that anyone else couldn't very easily do with very little effort and very little research.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I've not gone over the top with trying to optimize the compost. The natural process of composting has been taking place for hundreds of millions of years without us, and it still doesn't need us. Mm-hmm. So this is a very
but
easy thing
But the bokashi needs you. Mom, you're outvoted. 3-1.
And that's what it takes to compost in a family. You need a majority.
You need a majority.
You need a majority.
And you got a problem there because you could be split here. You got four. You need to add one more to the family so that...
Tiebreaker,
exactly. That is the Rapp family in studio. One quick break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about the practical aspect of weighing this and what you guys actually did and who was responsible for writing down numbers and that sort of thing. Now, last hour I told you that EcoLawn is now available in Chicago at Lake Street Landscape Supply in Chicago. But here's more good news. You can now, this is really awesome, actually. You can now have EcoLawn installed professionally by Clean Air Lawn Care. Go to cleanairlawncarechicago.com or call 847-421-6500. EcoLawn is the blend of fine fescues that, once established, is drought tolerant, needs almost no fertilization, and you get to decide whether you want to mow it or not. Pick up EcoLawn at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago, or go online to ecolawn.com, ecolawn.com. This is the low-maintenance, environmentally friendly lawn you've been waiting for.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
This is your last chance to pick up a copy of the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. How do I know? Well, doesn't May start next week? And you'll have to get the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, which is fine, but you'll miss out on the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which comes with the March-April issue. And you'll miss out on how to deal with some of the worst garden pests organically and how to build a cold frame, which we need around here sometimes if you've been paying attention. And you'll miss out on my column on the inside back page. Yeah, I already wrote another one for May, June, but I don't want you to miss any of them. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine today. Better yet, get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com, ChicagolandGardening.com, or call 888-265-3600. That's 888-265-3600, and you can tell them that Mike sent you. This is the Mike Novak Show on WCPT. We're on a whole bunch of frequencies, including 820 AM and 92.5 FM, 92.7 FM, 99.9. I hope you're listening on one, or even streaming live at ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com. And Kathleen, it reminds me, we got to fix the link on MikeNovak.net so we can stream straight from MikeNovak.net, which is, has been on the fritz for a long
time. They missed the
first half. Yeah, and Heather brings up a good point. If you miss this show, you miss the first half. If you're missing this show right now, you can't hear you can't hear what I'm saying, and you're upsetting Heather. You can listen to the podcast, which will be up by the end of the day. Just go to MikeNovak.net. All right, the Rapp family is here in the studio. They weighed their trash for a year. I want to know what that process was like. So you get up. Did it happen in the morning? Did it happen at night? Did it happen in the middle of the day? Let's start with the guys. What were you part of this weighing process?
Yeah, we were part of the weighing and the sorting. And it took place more in the morning.
Yeah, before we went to school.
That's a good time. It's like, you're not going to school until our garbage is weighed. I've never heard that threat before in a family. so you had to separate it. What did you separate things into?
We had all the recyclables. We had a lot of just like, four bags. One was metal, one was plastic, One was glass, and one was paper. And we just weighed each bag, and then we wrote it down on a little chart.
And then it went, I imagine, onto the computer someplace or something like that. And you just, were there, so this was just a ritual. Was this every day or every other day or what?
Every day.
Every day. Because I imagine you'd lose track of it after a while if you didn't do it every day, right? Mm-hmm. It would just get to be too much. Who was the first person in the family to whine about this and say, I'm sick of this. I don't want to do that. I mean, somebody had to get to that point, right? Anybody?
I probably did a lot of whining about having to go through the trash and pull out recyclables that shouldn't have been in the trash to begin with.
Yeah, that was probably the hard. Scott was sort of the recycling police, so he would go around from trash can to trash can, and you know, as you open, it's amazing how much packaging stuff comes in. As you know, if you were in the bathroom and you opened up a bottle of aspirin, let's say, and you put the aspirin away, you threw the box in the trash. So Scott would, you know, hunt down all these like boxes and paper and put
well, I can imagine
else.
Because you blow your nose, you're probably going to want to recycle the facial tissue, right?
No.
Why not?
Well, now that is something actually that you could compost.
Yeah, you could compost it.
Yeah, but we, you know, we the Chicago.
But by the time it gets to a even a recycling. The stuff is dried up. I'm not trying to be gross here, but yes, Heather.
There couldn't be like food or waste products on recyclable goods, though. That's what
yeah.
you said.
Yeah, you're right. All right.
You can compost it. You can recycle it.
That's one of the reasons the composting for urban people is so important, because there are a lot of things that are recyclable but tainted, and a pizza box is a great example.
Yeah. That's the classic example, right. Actually, of the idea is if you get any grease on a container cardboard, you can't recycle it. Now you're into composting.
Exactly.
Although, you know, I had a woman call. Remember the woman who called a few months ago and said, "What if my dog pees on it, and it's dried out, and it's dry?" I said, "I don't know why you couldn't recycle that, but."
Yeah,
you know, that's part of the problem is that, as you probably learned in the course of the year, you got to so many items that you said, I'm not sure. What do we do? So you probably know more about this than just about anybody. I'm with the Chicago Recycling Coalition. People are always asking me, can I recycle X, Y, and Z? And I go, let me do some research on it. I don't know.
Yeah. And, the corporate world is great at coming up with new packaging and hybrid packaging. And, you know, you look at the milk carton that has a plastic spout on it. What used to be a completely waxed cardboard carton now is partially plastic.
And I know. And the thing about it, what they call aseptic containers, which are milk and juice cartons, you can recycle the juice carton and the milk carton, but that you can't recycle the cap.
Right.
So you've got to remove the cap. And like you said, and sometimes there's a little plastic spout.
Right.
It's insidious, because in the old days, I remember I'm in school, and maybe still the smaller cartons, you just opened them up, they folded them, and they glued them together, and you just folded that and used a carton, and it was all carton.
Right. And, you know, I was starting to say before that there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on personal responsibility in this, but there's also corporate and governmental responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not enough to say we support recycling and then put something in somebody's hands who has no way of recycling it.
And that's the thing that frustrates me. Yeah, we have gotten to the point where there is no corporate responsibility. Mm-hmm. They just create whatever they want.
Yeah.
Although there's smarter, getting smarter now and starting to figure it out, but it's taken so long and so many decades where we've gone down the wrong road. How do you back up? How do you stop putting plastic caps on these things? Who's going to be the first person to do that?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about the plastic caps is that only started a couple of years ago. I think our awareness of sustainability and our need to recycle and even the Blue Cart program existed before those things started coming to market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are products that shouldn't have been developed at all.
Well, you're to be congratulated as a family for doing this and for putting up with your dad. And no, seriously, it's I'm impressed. I'm really impressed, and I wish. What's that, Heather? It's a good thing you don't have the mic. Pull that thing over.
I said you speak from experience.
What kind of experience are you talking about?
Well, I have an overwhelming feeling that, you know, you're kind of the compost, recycle, garden Nazi in your home.
Yeah.
So you emulate here a little bit, a little empathy.
But what happens is anybody does this at home. Kathleen has gotten like that, too. And once you go down that road where you realize, you start looking at everything you have and figuring out what's the end product, you get hooked and you don't do the shortcuts anymore. And it's a curse in some ways because you're afraid to throw out anything.
Yeah.
When, you know, you look at it, you're so much better than the average family. You could probably be cut some slack, but you're not going to cut yourself slack.
No. And in fact, it's probably gotten the awareness has grown tremendously because now when we're at the store, we're actually comparing the way things are packaged and we're buying things sometimes by the way they're packaged. And that has more of a preference to us. If there's a jar that we can recycle and then put popcorn in it or something like that, we start to look at the value of that.
We started at home popping our own popcorn in brown paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just put a little olive oil in there, you shake it up, and you, you know, and that could be bokashied.
That sure
the
can.
Brown
you
pa-
put that on your website.
That sure can.
But, you know, what it does, and even if I'm not able to recycle that, I can't recycle the bag because it's got grease on it.
Right.
But I could compost it.
You certainly could.
And, but I can't compost it right away. You know, I'd have to bokashi it.
Right.
But the point is, I'm still not using the plastic that came in
the
wrapper and I'm putting Orville Redenbacher out of business, but I could buy his gourmet corn
in a glass jar.
Yeah. Right. So there are ways around it, but the problem is it creates other problems, maybe less serious though. You know, and if everybody in the country thought the way you did when you went shopping, we'd be a better place. Scott Rapp, Grace Rapp, Matthew, Nicholas, thank you guys for coming down. You're an inspiration.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Keep me posted on 2010 and what happens in the family this year, okay?
Sure will.
Okay. One of the most important things gardeners need to know is the pH of their soil. Now, don't panic. It's just a measure of whether your soil is acidic or alkaline. In the immediate Chicago area, we tend to have alkaline soil. That's the reason why it's so difficult to grow blueberries and why your rhododendrons look like sticks with leaves on the end of them. In fact, I took a picture of a rhododendron in my neighborhood that is a stick with leaves on the end of it, and it was blooming. It had these sticks, and there was these pathetic little blooms on the end, and I took a picture of it, so I'm going to have to put it online. And that's why the Espoma people developed Hollytone, the original acid-loving plant food. Hollytone's blend of natural organics provides a safe, long-lasting feeding. And now Hollytone contains biotone beneficial microbes for even better growth and color. All-natural Hollytone is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. One application of Hollytone lasts for months, and it even improves your soil. Hollytone, the number one choice for azaleas, rhododendrons, and other acid-loving plants for over 50 years. For more information about Hollytone and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit espoma.com. E-S-P-O-M-A, Espoma, the leader. What did I say? The leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Have a small garden and no time to care for it? And do you love roses, but think you can't grow them? It's time you meet Drift Roses. They're the next big thing for small gardens. Drift Roses are naturally dwarf, ground cover roses with dark, glossy foliage, almost maintenance free. And they bloom from spring until frost in six delicious colors, from apricot to peach. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit driftroses.com/radio.
Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Of course, Wally is not a real doctor, but he's closer to being one than I am, whatever that means. A soil thermometer, speaking of doctors, a soil thermometer is an invaluable gardening tool. tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, green beans, and other cold-sensitive plants can be safely planted after the soil temperature hits 60 degrees, says Wally. Besides danger of freezing or cold damage to these plants, cold soil stunts these plants and can affect production later. You've seen it before. You put the tomato in too early, and it takes a hit from the cold weather, and it never recovers. That's why you want to wait with those tomatoes until the soil is warm enough. Meanwhile, right now the weather is perfect for planting lettuce, spinach, Swiss chard, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage, peas, onions, carrots, and radishes. And don't forget that the Mike Novak Show and Mighty House will be broadcast live from Pesci's in Des Plaines next Sunday from 8 a.m. to noon. It's part of the two-day Dr. Earth Days. Come on by and have some fun with us. Family-owned since 1924. Hey, and Dr. Wally's going to be there, too. I'm going to have Dr. Wally on the show. Family-owned since 1924, Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's B-O-B-B-E-X.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
There's a man in the funny papers we all know. He lives way back a long time ago.
Was that fun or what?
That was super fun.
And we're getting
tweets. Heart the Rap Family.
You heart the Rap Family.
I heart the Rap Family. They're fantastic.
That's what you need to tweet, I think.
I will tweet it right now.
I heart the Rap Family.
I'll say we. It'll be a collective.
All right, we heart the Rap Family. People have been tweeting us about them,
haven't
they?
Yes, sir, they have. Again, I'm still getting my tweet skills honed here, but we had the Urban Garden talked about the Rap Family.
Ron Wolford from Illinois Extension.
And the Cook County Extension Office. And then we have Plant Passion, who gave us another link to a person whose aim is no rubbish or trash for a whole year.
What was the name of the movie that we've been promotions on for, not that one.
I know.
But there was
It's escaping my brain right now. Yeah, I'll find it.
There's someone who it's set out to produce
to reduce their carbon footprint to zero and have no waste whatsoever.
Yeah, good luck. And one of the things that the Rap Family did that's so fascinating and you begin to understand is, when you start to do that, when you start to go down that road, it's addictive. And it's not just addictive. It's not like you find great pleasure in all the ways that industries can thwart your efforts to recycle and to reuse. You just become aware of them. And you try to work around them, which is kind of interesting, too. All right, there's a number of things going on. First of all,
you have a caller actually waiting for you about an event you've got coming up. Oh. It's got a question.
Alrighty.
That's Bernie.
Bernie, you're on the mic.
I just want to comment. I got the LaPorte Herald Argus yesterday, the newspaper, and there's your beautiful face in it.
Which paper was this?
The Herald Argus.
Oh, right, the Daily Herald. I saw the article that they're running about our big doings at Pesci's. Amazing. It's like we're getting...
The one on May 1st in LaPorte.
Oh, no, that's different. Sorry.
This is in LaPorte, Indiana.
Oh, okay. Wait a second. Yeah, let me go to I'm glad you brought that up because I am appearing in La Porte.
Right.
And I need to find that. Boy, caught me off guard here.
Okay. You're just, it's your spring. Spring is Mike Novak season.
Well, there's a lot going on here. May 1st, gardening, green. Yep. It's I'm doing a talk called Good Planets Are Hard to Find, which, you know, if you listen to the show and the theme, it's at their big gardening green symposium in La Porte on May 1st. Let me track down more information. What did you need to know about that, Bernie?
I'm just going to hear. I know more about what you're doing than you know what you're doing.
That's not surprising. Why do you find that surprising at all? Read from the paper. What have you got about what's going on there? Because I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, hang on a minute.
You're not ready either.
No. La Porte Master Gardeners Association holding its Green Spring Symposium. I mean, it's a pretty good sized article.
I know. And let's see where. Where is it? Have they got the address? Because I'm still trying.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Hold on. Let's see.
I got invited to this a long time ago, which is good. They're being really good in terms of getting the word out to me early, because they need to do that, because I'll forget, and I won't be able to block out a time for it. But all right, I'm finding it on my little thing here. Have you got more there, Bernie?
Well, it goes into the next page. I'd have to find it. You know, I mean, it's
It's the La Porte County, Indiana Master Gardener Association. It's at the Best Western in La Porte, Indiana.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And Heather, see if you can track that down, and we'll get all the particulars. I'm sure it goes all day. I'm speaking at about 12:45 p.m. I'm doing my talk. Good Planets Are Hard to Find. So there we go. I'll tell you what, Bernie, I will get more information in just a second, okay?
Let me just say one thing, you know, when you talk about this recycling, you know, it's the politics in this country just stymie any movement. You know, I mean, these corporations, everything, and it sure is discouraging.
Yeah. I understand that. I know what you're talking about, and that's what the Rapp family was talking about too, about how hard it is. What I would do is look up La Porte County Master Gardeners.
Okay,
that's what.
Well,
I found
the name of the movie too that we were discussing. It was No Impact Man.
Right, No Impact Man, and it's hard to have no impact, Bernie, isn't it? Because it's all these different ways that you get, as I said before, thwarted by trying to recycle stuff and to do what's right. And it becomes very, very difficult because we grew up, and I don't know what your age is, but I grew up in a time when you just assume you're just going to throw everything away. And now we have to try to go back in time.
You know, the thing is that in every aspect, we're crossing lines that should be dealt with. You know, like this recycling and that, a lot of stuff shouldn't even, like the man said, which is, it shouldn't even be made. Nobody's looking at it, and, you know, I mean, it's just...
Well, somebody is, because they're making the stuff. It's just that they're not paying as much attention as they
should. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not saying... That's why I've always said that before you make anything, you should have a disposal fee on it. And if something's more difficult to dispose of, then the fee should be higher. Mm-hmm. It would discourage people from producing things that...
Well, I am one of those people who believes in taxes for some things like plastic bags. Make people pay for them. Recently, Washington D.C. did that, and it reduced the number of plastic bags being used in D.C. considerably, and they raised $150,000 or something. So those kind of punitive taxes, I believe in that case, do work. And it's something we need to think about. So,
right. I think so too, because I think in anything when you're, I believe myself with anything that has to be disposed of, it should be dealt with by the government. I mean, instead of like paying some guy to some garbage pickup guy to take care, and you have to pay for it, should all be free disposing of things, and then they recycle. It should be all free and taxed, and where you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, you know, it would be great if we could find business a way for business to do it, but and that would be the goal ultimately. But until then, I understand why you say government might need to get involved. Hey, listen, Bernie, I got to run. I'm tracking down the information, and I'll have it in a sec.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
I am so glad you came with me. I'm not sure where to start. Our lawn is mostly weeds and lots of bare spots.
That's how our lawn looked last year.
Get out! Your lawn looks great. That's one reason I asked you to come today. But I'm afraid of using chemicals. You know, the kids and the dog.
Oh, I know. That's why we went organic.
Organic? Your lawn's organic and it looks that good?
Right? I didn't think it was possible till I heard this guy at an organic seminar. He was... Oh my gosh. That's him. That's Jonathan Green.
Oh, excuse me, Jonathan Green?
Yes? Yeah,
my friend just told me that you helped her go organic with their lawn care.
Well, it's really quite easy to do. Just feed the soil and let the soil feed the grass.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean.
Look here at my Natural Beauty Lawn Fertilizer. It restores lawn soil life and fertility. My organics grow a stronger, healthier, and more beautiful lawn.
Find your nearest dealer at jonathangreen.com.
And here's the nearest dealer, Pasquazi Home and Garden Center in Barrington, Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, and Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais. Here's a tip from the care of trees. It's spring, and if you're thinking about mulching under your trees, here are some things to keep in mind. Many suitable materials are available, including barks and composts, but one of the places you might want to go to is the care of trees for their shredded brush and wood chips. Organic mulches, like wood chips, provide many benefits. They retain soil moisture, cool soil temperatures in the summer, and warm winter soils. They also improve soil structure and restore nutrient levels. Just remember, never, ever pile up mulch against the trunk of your tree. That's called volcano mulching, and believe it or not, it can kill your tree. Make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the care of trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The care of trees, their business is people and their love for trees. We found the information, 8:30 to 3 o'clock. Next Saturday, May 1st, Best Western Hotel and Conference Center, Grand Ballroom on Pine Lake Avenue in LaPorte, sponsored by the LaPorte County Master Gardeners Association, Purdue Extension Office, LaPorte County. Also, next Sunday, the Native Plant Sale, McHenry County College. The Wildflower Preservation and Propagation Committee is holding its annual plant sale there in McHenry County, May 2nd, from 12 noon until 3 p.m. Over 150 species will be available. And next Sunday, we're broadcasting live from Pesci's along with Mighty House. 8 to noon on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Mighty House is next. We will see you next week. Come out to Pesci's.